today on Anchored in the Word.
He'll give me the word. Boom, it happens when I'm standing up here. And he'll give me a reference, and I just know it because I've read it before. But this is the bringing to remembrance. He did it with Peter. He does it with you. This is an important aspect of our Christian walk, is this idea of God bringing the Bible to remembrance. He's not just bringing it to you just so you can tell your friends how much of the Bible you have in you. It's always to apply it. He's trying to give you wisdom at the point where you need it. Right now, he's giving it to you.
When I'm anchored deep in your clean love, I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. When you set aside the time to memorize passages of Scripture, what do you find your motivation and reason to be? Is it to boast in your memorization skills, or is it to truly have God's Word at the ready? In today's message with Pastor Bill, you'll learn how God brings passages to your memory for use in both application and in witnessing. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill in Acts chapter 11 with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
You can read a book, you can get blessed. And most of the books you get blessed by, the Christian books, are because the Word of God is in there. Or you see a testimony of how somebody got affected by the Word of God. But it's not the Word of God. And that's what I was just telling them. I want you to use the Word of God. Because I'd seen it in my own life, how it transformed me. And I've seen it that, you know, yeah, you can stumble and bumble around, but at least you're getting it out there. And then the Holy Spirit takes that and he changes people's lives. We just don't need more instruction. We just don't need to be shown how to do things right. That's not, the Bible is so much more than that. And show us when we're doing wrong. Books can do that. You know, how-to books, right? People make a fortune and people spend a fortune getting how-to books. This is the best how-to book there ever is. Because not only does it show you how to or how not to, but it empowers you to do that. No other book will do that. They won't. And so the Bible's different than any other book. But this hearing, this idea of hearing the word. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, to have a speaker, there has to be a listener, right? That's what we're talking about. Now, the people that are listeners. You right now are listeners. I was a listener when I went away on this conference, and I'm a listener when I work on this study. I'm a listener. I have to listen keenly. I want to say this to you. Don't take for granted that you have a part. Listening is not just something that you just kind of sit there and do. You have to participate in this. You have to be an active listener. Then the Bible talks about this. You know, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath. Listening is a very important part of communication. It takes work to be a good listener. It really does take work to be a good listener. It starts before you get here. Remember, I told you this is the Word of God. It's a supernatural thing. It's a spiritual thing. You know, it starts the night before you go to bed. I mean, get to bed at a decent hour when you know you're going to be sitting and listening to the Word of God. That helps you to be a good listener, right? And then in the morning, I know that I'm looking around here. You got dressed, all of you got dressed and came to church. You took care of the outward person, right? You got ready for church. And you cleaned yourself up, maybe you brushed your teeth, hopefully, and did the other things, preparing yourself to come to church. Great. But here's what I would say to you. Did you prepare the inward man to come today? That is so much more important. Because there's things going on here that go beyond the natural. We're talking about supernatural things. And that's, you know, I hope you know that I don't run out of prayer material when I pray before I get up here. I pray the same prayer almost every time in that, Lord, will you give us ears to hear? I don't pray that because it's the only prayer I know. I pray it because there's a God listening, and we need that. We need to be hearers. And I pray for the anointing of your ears and your hearts that you could hear what God is saying. I know there's good stuff in this book that he's going to be saying. You know what I like about the Word of God? And I've got my 3 points this morning. Hopefully we'll go through them. I'll get my 3 points. And I got a subject I'm talking. The subject is the Word of God and the power in the Word and, you know, speaking the Word, hearing the Word, remembering the Word. But you know what happens when you are faithful to teach the Word of God? This is what happens all the time. That somebody that's listening will get something that had nothing to do with what I was teaching. I mean, you know what I mean by that? It had nothing to do with my subject matter. It had something totally to do. They were blessed. You know, the Lord does. And I'm like, I didn't say anything like that. I had nothing. And I realized that's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit takes his word and he just meets people right where they are. You know, there's some people that say, you got to know your audience. There's a truth to that. But I think we can take that way too far. In other words, you wouldn't be talking about women's things when we went to the men's conference. You got to know the audience. You're going to gear your message towards men. You can do that, right? But there are some that believe you need to know your congregation. I've actually been taught this by certain people. You need to know your congregation and where they're at. First of all, the problem with that is we're all at different places. I mean, I know there's sin in the camp. We all got that, but it's different sin. I mean, you know, so it's like, you know what I mean by that? We're all at different places. And I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. I can tell you that I don't have enough time in the day to do that. I don't even know what's going on in my own life a lot of times. How can I know what's going on in your life? So instead, I think I would rather rely on, no, that's God's work. Ultimately, you are his sheep, not mine. That's, you know that, right? You understand that. When the Lord said to Peter, you love me, Peter? He says, feed my sheep, not feed your sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep, Jesus said. So I know whose sheep you are, and I'm just figuring he's going to take care of that part of it. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to stand before him someday. And I'm fine with the fact that he says, you know, you had to go verse to verse every time, you know, or you stayed in the Bible. Why didn't you bring any other books? I don't think I'm going to hear that in heaven. You know, and he's going to say, well, you were faithful to stay in the Bible. That's what I'm looking to hear, by the way. So those of you, and I hope there aren't any of you out here, but if you just would rather have something else or some other thing on Sunday, some other book on Sunday morning, I pray that it never comes to that. It won't when I'm here, but this is not the place you're going to get that. And I hope that rather than leave, that you would just say, well, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I should just try to, you know, ask the Lord to get this message through to me if it's really true. And I'm trying to say to you that the hearing of the word is transforming. It's transforming. Yeah, so this time you're spending here, just hearing the word of God go out is beneficial to you. And it's beneficial to your family. You know, my wife, she encourages the women, the wives of the husbands, do whatever you can to let your husband go to these kinds of things because it's beneficial, whether it be the men's study or, you know what I mean? Because instead of seeing it, it's an investment where he's going to be gone for X amount of time. No, don't look at it that way. Look at it as God's going to pour in this man. It's going to affect our family in a positive way. That's what faith looks like. It's not just we're going away on a fishing trip or something like that. You know, we're going away to get the word of God poured into us. And those of you wives, I don't want to hear any amens or anything, but you know, those of you, but that your men went, judging from the things that were said to me by the men, you probably noticed a change in them. You probably noticed that God impacted us while we were gone. I've seen it. So what I'm just saying that it was the word of God. We were hearing the word. Yeah, we were hanging out. We were eating pulled pork sandwiches and stuff like that. But we were being fed spiritually. We were hearing the word. Now, so you know what's going on here. Peter's preaching. These Gentiles come to Christ. And now we get to chapter 11. I'm just going to summarize it for you. That what happens is Peter gets called on the carpet by the people of the circumcision. I'll just read the first couple of verses. Now the apostles and brethren, this is chapter 11, verse 1, who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him. He was called on the carpet. These guys, again, were Christians. They were holding on to the Jewish traditions of not eating with Gentiles, non-Jews. And he says, verse 3, you went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them? So now Peter's got to give an explanation now of what's going on. Now that's what he does starting in verse 4, and he's going to give the testimony again that where the sheet came down from heaven, I was sitting there, I was praying, and a sheet came down from heaven. There were kosher animals in there. There were non-kosher animals in there. And then it says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat," is what the voice from heaven said. And then it happened three times. And Peter realized, we know this, as he told us last week, that it was more than just about his diet. It was about, don't call anything unclean that I call clean. That's what the Lord spoke to him. And he was preparing Peter's heart to take the gospel to non-Jews, and so much more than that. But that's basically what was happening. And now what's going to happen is God's going to seek to change these ones of the circumcision, just how he changed Peter's life, by the word of God. It's powerful. And by the way, none of you have arrived. I know that you think maybe you're doing well as a Christian, and but none of us have arrived. God is transforming us by the renewing of our minds, and he uses the Bible to do that. And so that's what's happening here. Now Peter is explaining to them, he's going to give the testimony of that sheet, and then he says, and not only that, but then man, you know the story, Cornelius sent these people over, and the angel spoke to them, and they came over here, they were knocking on my doors, I'm having this vision, and sure enough, God tells me there's people there, go with them. That's supernatural stuff, right? God's timing. He goes with them to Cornelius' house, preaches to them, and all these people, lo and behold, get saved. And he's just reiterating the story of what happened, given the testimony of what happened. Now, these ones of the circumcision are standing there listening, right? And he's telling them, when I spoke, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then he says in verse 16, we'll skip down to verse 16. He says, then I remembered the word of the Lord. He says, I remembered the word of the Lord. So Peter's telling them as he's having this vision, as all these things are going on, as he's preaching, God brought to his remembrance the Bible. This is what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes, Christians. You've experienced this already. I experience this every time I'm in the Word. Cross references come. Sometimes I don't know the address of the cross reference. He'll give me the Word. Boom! It happens when I'm standing up here, and he'll give me a reference, and I just know it because I've read it before. But this is the bringing to remembrance. He did it with Peter. He does it with you. This is an important aspect of our Christian walk, is this idea of God bringing the Bible to remembrance. He's not just bringing it to you just so you can tell your friends how much of the Bible you have in you. It's always to apply it. He's trying to give you wisdom at the point where you need it. Right now, he's giving it to you. I want to read you John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. There's nobody that has better timing than God. And he brings things to remembrance. In this case, he's relating to the circumcision, and he brings the word of God in. He brought it, he remembered it, and then he spoke it. He remembered it, and then he spoke it. It says, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said. And John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Now he's reasoning with them. And he's telling them what happened. Now, I want you to know something. In regarding to reasoning, we have something called apologetics, which is the defending of the faith, where, in other words, people would take doctrines, they would discuss the Bible. You know, this word, if it's what it claims to be, if it's from heaven, if it's God's very word, it should stand. In other words, nothing that is outside of the word or contrary to the word should be able to be proven, in other words, to disprove the Bible. It won't happen because truth will stand, right? So we don't have to worry about that. And these guys, these people, they do that, and they'll have a great, I'm amazed by some of these guys that just, not only do they know their Bibles well, they know the material very well, and they have a way of presenting it. And I like the ones especially, like Dr. Jason Law, when he's an astrophysicist, and he presents it in a nice way. A lot of these people get kind of ups, you know, they just get in your face and they, you know, they're somewhat, maybe it's pride or whatever, but this guy really seems like a nice guy as he's presenting the information. The Bible does tell us, by the way, to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that lies within us in meekness and fear. That's important. But anyway, I would say to you, and you can ask any apologist, how many people actually come to Christ when you're doing these talks? And the answer is not many. I've never seen anybody get saved I'm not saying it never happened. I'm saying that people get saved because the gospel's preached. And some of these guys say, well, this is pre-evangelism. It kind of prepares people for, you kind of like, you seek to erode their foundation of what they believe, right? By kind of like, that's what they're trying to do. They kind of show you that what you believe in, you know, this is truth, and compared to yours, which one seems better? So it's somebody erodes what they believe a little bit, the non-believer, and then they're ready for the gospel then. And I'm thinking, okay, that makes sense. But anyway, this is what I found. And, I told you, so I'm confessing again. I like watching, I don't watch the news. I watch the videos of the news, right, of the blurbs of the news shows and such. And I love watching two different people. You have a conservative and you have a liberal, and they're talking over a certain idea from their own, they come from their own view, right? And I love sitting there listening to them. And I guess I'm really hoping that the person that will come around to the right way of thinking. You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping, I guess, is happening. But have you noticed, and I've watched hundreds of these things. And, you know, the mediator will jump in, or sometimes it's the mediator taking that side, and he has a superior argument. But here's what I've noticed. I've watched hundreds, I've watched thousands probably of these things, and not once has the person on one side or the other said, you know what? You're right. Yeah. And I'm wrong. It's never happened. Ever. They've never been persuaded. Because they've never used the word of God. That's probably the problem. That is the problem. The word of God persuades. And I'm not, again, casting and saying that stuff is evil. I'm saying that it doesn't change anybody. I've never seen anybody change. If nothing else, they're more set in their ways when they got there. They're upset a lot of times. Somebody, one of the two gets upset, it seems. You know, it's like, I don't know. I guess, what is the purpose? Just so people like me can watch? Because nobody's getting persuaded by these arguments. They're really not. But it's not like that with the Word of God. These people that came, these were the circumcision, they were persuaded that they were right. So much so that they're gonna get on Peter. And even when people come to Christ, you think, oh, that's enough. There must be something going on here. You know, people are getting saved, you know. But they had to get saved in the right way. But I want you to see what happened as a result of the Word of God, Peter remembering the Word of God and then speaking the Word of God. They must have heard the Word of God. Because look what happened in verse 18. Let's look at the results. When they heard these things, they became silent. That means they were thinking. They became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. They agreed. They were persuaded. Just like that. That's a miracle. That doesn't happen on TV. Unless you're using the Word of God. I mean, let's just call it what it is. We want to persuade people. We want to change people. You know, some people say, well, you know, you can be your Christian, but you can't proselytize. No, I want to change people. You can't, you can go there and talk, but you can't change people. No, I'm not going to agree to that. I want to change people because they're going to hell. I don't want them to go to hell. Therefore, I'm going to try and do everything I can to stop that from happening. So the Word of God did it. Speaking the Word, hearing the Word, remembering the Word. The Word is powerful. Now, I mean, I know you know that. You're reminded of something you already know. God's reminding you of something you already know. But just know that in these last days, as the world gets darker and darker, you know, I know that it's great when the world changes a little bit, when the baby in the womb is a little bit more safe. I mean, we should rejoice over that in a culture when, you know, when other things are happening. I'm not saying we shouldn't take notice of that and be happy about that. I'm talking about what's going on in our nation now, right? But at the same time, remember our mission is not to make a country just a better place and make it more moral, right? That's not our mission, to make moral people. We're trying to save people's souls, the inward part of the man. That's what we're involved in. We're trying to make it so the people, when they die, they don't have to perish. Now, I suggest to you, that's an important thing. That's the most important to me. It's the most important thing that there is in the world, really. And it's not just me that has that call, by the way. It's you too. We have that call. And the way that this call and the vehicle that God chooses to use and the weapon that we have in this warfare is the Word of God. I want to talk about this weapon. And he says, you need to speak it. You need to speak it and then you need to hear it. So make sure that your hearing is always keen whenever it's going out. And when you're in the Word, ask God, ask the Lord. You know, we know that his Word is powerful, but Lord, there's a prayer that is worth praying. It's in the book of Luke, at the very last chapter of Luke. When you open your Bibles, pray this. It's 24:45. It says, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And ask the Lord that when you open this book, that God would open your understanding, that you would comprehend the scriptures, that you would understand what God is saying. But most of the time, remember, you're as a Christian, he's going to bring this to remembrance, that you could speak it. Your words, there's no guarantee that they're going to last, they're going to change anything. But God's word is different. Now, I know this is just a reminder, but it's a great reminder to us. We're not just here to watch people discuss things and, I don't know, pick one of the two. I mean, we have the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. And there are people that are bound. And as the world gets darker and darker, let's not get focused on fixing the world and making it a more moral place. That will happen as a result of people getting saved. So that would be one of the things that's going to take place. But you don't just try to change people, give them different information, make them more moral people. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. We give them the gospel. We give them the word of God. And we pray that they would have ears to hear the word of God. So the people that God's put on your list, pray that prayer that God will give them ears to hear when you come, or ears to hear when they come, when you invite them to church, or whatever the case may be.
Finding community in a church is such an important part of growing in faith. It's hard to do this life alone, and especially hard to follow Jesus in a hostile and evil world. Walking in faith is made a little easier when you know you have the support of your church family, people who are walking similar roads with similar flaws. As we've learned from this study in the book of Acts, a church is also a great place to put your God-given gifts into service for the Lord. You can build up your brothers and sisters in Christ in ways unique to you. If you haven't found a church to call home yet, we hope you will look for one today. Are you in the Eatontown area? If so, you're invited to come check out the church this program is a part of, Calvary Chapel Coastlands. We meet each Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. to seek Jesus in the pages of Scripture and spend time in worship. We'd love to have you join us as we learn more about our Savior. Find out more and get directions by visiting our church website, cccoastlands.org. While you're on our website, you'll be able to access several of Pastor Bill's past messages, connect with us on Facebook, and download our mobile app to take the messages of Anchored in the Word with you on the go. That website again is cccoastlands.org. That's all for today. Join us next time to learn more from Acts in Pastor Bill's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study. We pray that you would continue to be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.